Hello, everyone. Welcome to our The Week That Was in Europe podcast. My name is Dirk Schumacher. I'm the head of European macro research at Natixis. And with me, as usual, is Klaus Adam, professor of economics at the University of Mannheim.
Hello, also from my side. So today we'd like to talk about the ECB's December 2022 meeting, which was really interesting, I'd say. We'll discuss the decisions that were taken at this meeting and then provide some perspectives on these. And just to notify you, it will be the last podcast for this year. Before jumping to the ECB meeting, let's have a quick look at what the Bank of England has decided on its December meeting, which actually took place the same day as the ECB meeting. Dirk, what happened?
Indeed. So the Bank of England raised its bank rate by 50 basis points. That was widely expected. 350 is now the level. The message coming from that meeting was that further rate hikes are likely, and that's indeed what the market is pricing in. But the overall tone was not decisively hawkish, and actually two members of the MPC voted for leaving rates unchanged, and the outlook is very much conditional on how the economy will develop and inflation. So further rate hikes is what one should expect in England, or in Great Britain, I shall say, but an overall rather constructive and a bit of wait and see tone. But let's move on to the ECB, which was actually quite interesting.
Yeah, so the December meeting was tensely awaited because several important issues were expected to be on the table, and so it was. It was quite an eventful meeting. So the first issue on the table was, of course, interest rates. The question was, by how much would policy rates be raised and whether there would be any guidance about the future path and potential endpoint of rate hikes going forward.
And the second issue was the hotly awaited decision under what conditions the ECB would start so-called quantitative tightening, that is, stopping reinvestments of maturing government bonds it bought under so-called asset purchase program in the past.
Yeah, we shall discuss both of these issues in detail, and we'll start now with policy rates. So what happened? The ECB decided to increase policy rates by half a percentage point. And this is something that the market widely expected to happen. And this brings the so-called deposit rate, which is currently the relevant policy rate anchoring short-term money market rates, to a level of 2%. While this decision was not surprising, there was a lot of news about the future path of interest rates. And I think it's fair to say that relative to market expectation, the news was quite hawkish, in particular also in the language used during the press conference. Also, the prepared statement mentions that policy rates would need to be significantly lifted further into, I quote, sufficiently restrictive territory. That's quite a thing to hear.
Indeed, and President Lagarde clarified during the press conference that the ECB was aiming at several additional 50 basis point hikes. Although she obviously did not give any specific number, she said that the pre-meeting market pricing that saw the deposit rate reaching a bit less than 3% by the second quarter was insufficient to get inflation back to target. And Lagarde stressed this point several times during the meeting, saying that the ECB is not pivoting and that there is still, quote, ground to cover. And the market reaction was quite swift, with rates selling off quite aggressively. The 10-year bunds are now 20 basis points higher, and the Italian 10-year rates around 25 basis points.
Yeah, so it really seems like the ECB woke up to the potential persistence of inflation dynamics. And this is quite a shift from the view that the ECB held, namely that inflation is temporary just at the beginning of this year. In particular, relative to expectations prior to the meeting, there was a significant upward revision in the inflation outlook for the euro area. So we can compare the ECB's December economic projection to the ones it last issued in September. And we see inflation for 2023 lifted up to 6.3% from 5.5%. Also, 2 years out, there was a big revision for 2024. It's actually even higher, and the inflation is now expected in 2024 to stand at 3.4% relative to a prior forecast of 2.3%. Also, for 2025, the ECB sees inflation a little bit above the target at 2.3%. So, according to these new ECB staff projections, inflation will remain above the ECB's target in the coming next 2 years and decline only to the target of 2% in the third quarter of 2025. So these projections are, of course, based on an interest rate path, and it is the interest rate path that is expected in the market. So by having these high inflation projections, it basically signals, the ECB basically signals to the market that the market is way too dovish about the future rate path. At least that is the staff's projection about it.
Yeah, the sharp upward revision of the inflation forecast was quite surprising, at least for me. For one, the so-called technical assumptions underlying the forecast, so the gas and oil price, the exchange rate and short and long-term rates, all of these are not forecasted by the staff, but they simply look at what's priced in the market and assume that path. And based on that, they come up with a forecast. And all these factors had developed in a rather dovish direction, meaning they would have all pointed mechanically towards a lower inflation forecast relative to the September forecast. For example, the gas price for next year was revised down by almost 100 euros compared to the September assumption. It's also not the case that wage growth has developed more dynamically than the ECB staff was expecting in September. And finally, the short-term growth outlook is seen weaker. That's something most people expected, which also implies usually, all else equal, less inflationary pressure. Thus, there must have been a genuine reassessment of the underlying inflation dynamics as reflected in these new, rather high inflation rates.
Yeah, so the hawkishness regarding the future rate path also raises a few questions about the internal consistency of the policy stance. For one, why did the ECB slow down the pace of rate increases in December when it now thinks that the inflation outlook is much worse than the one assumed back in September? Not sure what the thinking here is, but perhaps what matters more for inflation is the persistence of rate increases. And it seems that the ECB is more comfortable with a persistent series of 50 basis point increases than with continuing at the larger pace of 75. The hawkishness of the statement and in the press conference has actually already triggered a repricing of the rate path in the market. The peak was seen of short-term interest rates. The peak was seen at around 2.8% in April, May prior to the meeting, but now stands at 3.1%. I'd say this is not a lot given the hawkish communication during the press conference and also in the statement. So we have to ask why there has been only a modest increase. And one possible reason may be that there was some confusion also in communication. On the one hand, there was clear forward guidance on at least one further rate increase of most likely 50 basis points. But on the other hand, the claim was also to pursue a meeting-by-meeting and data-dependent approach. So it's not clear what is really going to happen. Have we gotten information about a sustained 50 basis point increase, or have we gotten the message of, we're going to look at the data and do what's appropriate? At the same time, it's difficult to see how any data release near term, at least, could lead the ECB to change away from its forward guidance about future rate increases.
Yeah, I would say that all that makes it not easier to forecast what's going to happen, but we shall see. And there's also, I think, a somewhat implicit inconsistency between the downward revision of growth, the upward revision of core inflation, and the claim that more rate hikes are needed to, and I quote, ensure a timely return of inflation to target. What rate hikes do is weaken growth, increase the so-called output gap, and this then reduces inflationary pressure. This is the well-known Phillips curve relation that is in some form or another at the core of all modern macro models. The fact that growth was revised down by around half a percentage point, while core inflation was revised up by 0.8, shows that the ECB thinks there's only a small effect on inflation from a bigger output gap. This per se not an argument against further rate hikes, but it still puts a question mark on the ECB's ability to, as they claim they will, ensure via more rate hikes that it will reach its targets. What they're telling us more or less is rate hikes do not make that much of a difference, at least when it comes to our own inflation forecast.
Well, there's of course also the way you operate on inflation expectations, and the ECB certainly would like to keep these inflation expectations in check, and in particular reduce the potential for wage dynamics to pick up. And in fact, Ms. Lagarde mentioned in the press conference that she sees wage increases that are inconsistent with the ECB's inflation target. But one has to say overall wage pressure in the euro area is relatively weak, and real wages are currently falling. So now let's turn to the other important announcement that the ECB made, which regards quantitative tightening. Quantitative tightening simply means that the ECB seeks to shrink the size of its balance sheet. And the ECB decided to start in March 2023 already to reduce its APP portfolio by around 15 billion euros per month. That means it's not going to reinvest all of its maturing bonds in that portfolio. It decided to run this quantitative tightening until the end of the second quarter, that is until June, so for 4 months. It is more like I'd see it as a trial step and really as such not a big deal given the size of the balance sheet, at least if things would end there, but who knows. Following the 4 month period, the ECB will reassess the appropriate pace of shrinking its asset purchase program portfolio, the APP portfolio.
Those 15 billion pace, or this reduction of 15 billion, equals roughly half of the average monthly redemptions next year. Interestingly, there was no qualification in terms of market conditions or the macroeconomic environment for starting the reduction of the APP portfolio. So they said, no matter what, we're going to start early March. And the big question here is obviously how much interest rates will rise as the ECB reduces its reinvestments. So we estimate in the case of German 10-year rates, the combined effect of all past purchases is somewhere around 100 basis points. And in the case of Italian 10-year rates, the effect is somewhere around 200 basis points. And assuming that these estimates are not too far off the mark, this shows that QT could push rates significantly higher, especially if the market would expect quantitative tightening to continue or to be accelerated.
Yeah, so the crucial question really hinges on expectations. Is this just a trial that perhaps is going to be ended, or is this something, an experiment that's going to continue? And that will determine how quickly the overall effect on long-term rates will materialize. A slow and sort of a mechanical reactions to low sales, low reinvestments would surely be manageable, but there is no guarantee that this will be the case. Maybe the market wakes up in early March and is all unhappy about this happening, and we'll see what happens then. There's also the question here in the background, why the ECB is so keen on starting quantitative tightening rather sooner than later. Yes, inflation is clearly high, but it's less clear what quantitative tightening would change here and why it's needed. Couldn't we all do it just by the policy rate? And wouldn't that be a better instrument than actually the normal instrument to use? The argument that other central banks are doing quantitative tightening isn't really convincing to me. These central banks don't have to deal with low credibility or weak sovereigns necessarily, and are in a much better position to perhaps sell assets. And that, of course, then there's the question, what if things go wrong? People tend to point to the transmission protection instrument. The transmission protection instrument would allow the ECB to pursue its rate hike path further, even if it would have stopgap some sovereigns and the transmission to restore the transmission. But I'm not so sure about that either, because once you start buying in a sovereign market and start raising rates, you may have to buy a lot more, and this will feed back on the rate path, I'm pretty sure. Finally, there may be the issue of losses on the sovereign bond holdings, as explaining the eagerness to start quantitative tightening soon, but that could be only a case if the ECB itself expects a much higher rate path than what is currently priced in the market. So we will see how this goes, and March will certainly become interesting.
Yeah. To sum up, the ECB clearly stated its wish yesterday to keep hiking rates on the back of a further deterioration of the inflation outlook. And the market reactions in the coming week will show whether this will lead to an excessive tightening of financial conditions that will force the ECB to reassess again the situation or not. And we surely will talk about all that in a future podcast. In any case, wish you a great year ending and all that, and speak to you next year.